Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim unto you the way of salvation. It is written, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and all the foundations of the prison house were shaken. It is written, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. It is written, and Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm. It is written, and he called for lights, and trembling for fear sprang in and fell down before Paul and Silas. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his immediately. And he brought them up into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God. A shout, a trumpet note, a glorious presence in the azure sky, a gasp, a thrill of joy, and we are with him in the twinkling of an eye. A glance, an upward look, caught up to be with Christ forevermore. The dead alive, the living glorified, fulfilled are all the promises that came before. His face, our joy supreme, our souls find rapture at his feet. Blameless without spot, we enter into heaven's joy complete. Strike harps, oh sound his praise. We know him as we never knew before. God's love, God's matchless grace, 'twill take eternity to tell while we adore.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message entitled, It's Good Enough for Me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Now, just what is the old-time religion? Well, for one thing, the old-time religion is a midnight sermon. The services began at midnight in the Philippian jailhouse with prayer and singing. The midnight hour is the most unusual hour of the day. It is at the midnight that today becomes yesterday in the twinkling of an eye, and at the same time tomorrow becomes today. Jesus spoke of the midnight hour when he told the story of the wise and foolish virgins. They all went out to meet the bridegroom, and at midnight there is a cry, "Behold the bridegroom! Come ye forth to meet him." At first glance, some might say it looks like the Lord will stage his second coming at the hour of midnight. And then we remember that he had said just before this in the same sermon that no man knoweth the day nor the hour. Since Jesus would not contradict himself, we realize that the midnight hour of the virgins was the midnight hour of our day on earth. At his second coming, it will be our midnight hour on earth. And if he delays his coming, then we will meet him at our death. That will be our midnight hour. In either case, our midnight hour is coming. Since we do not know the hour of his coming, nor do we really know the hour of our death, every sermon becomes a midnight sermon. The preacher needs to preach every sermon as though it will be the last one he will ever preach. And in an audience that is heard by tens of thousands like this broadcast, there are many of you who are listening to this last sermon you will ever hear. Many of you will have the numerals of this year carved on your tombstone. I was told early in my ministry to preach every sermon as a dying man to a dying people. The old-time religion is a midnight sermon, and it's good enough for me. Now, just what is the old-time religion? The old-time religion is the ability to sing in the dark. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God. Now, I can understand how they could pray after the severe beating they had just received, but it's hard to understand how they could sing. I hope when I get to heaven that I might prevail upon Paul and Silas to sing a special number before the assembled saints in glory. And I would ask them to sing that song they sang in the jailhouse at Philippi. I would request that they not sing it in their celestial voices, which might be almost as good as Elvis, but sing it in the same old off-key voices they sang on earth. What a special number that would be. But I still don't understand how they could sing in the jailhouse under the circumstances until I realize what happened. You see, when they were beaten and the judge told the jailer to keep them safely, and Paul saw the jailer approach, I think he must have jabbed Silas in the ribs and said, "Sigh, there he is." Silas said, "There who is, Paul?" And Paul said, "Silas, that's the fellow that I saw in the vision. Come over into Macedonia and help us." Now, of course, I don't know that Paul said that, but he did see a man standing and beseeching him and saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And if this was not the man in the vision, it was somebody like him. And he was the first man he met that could qualify as the man in the vision. Paul realized at that time that he and Silas were living in the center of God's will, and that is why they felt like singing in the dark. Later on, he would write to the Philippian church and tell them how to sing in the dark, and tell us also, when he said, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your thoughts and your hearts in Christ Jesus." And ladies and gentlemen, that is the old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. Now, just what is the old-time religion? The old-time religion was preaching to unseen ears. Paul and Silas were praying and singing in the dark, and the prisoners were listening to them. And that is what the old-time religion is today, in this day of electronics and television. Every listener to this broadcast is an unseen listener. And in hundreds of cases, it is true today as it was with Paul and Silas. The prisoners are listening. One such prisoner in Cairo, Egypt, writes and say, he lost his radio in transition to another prison. Then one night, he heard this program coming from another cell. Hundreds of others are studying with us, as well as hearing this broadcast. And that is the old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the old-time religion? Well, the old-time religion is earthquake religion. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison house was shaken. Without the earthquake, the Philippian jailer would never have known salvation. The earthquake was a wake-up call for the jailer. God has a way of giving us a wake-up call. Something in life happens that shakes us up to the very foundation of our lives. Without this wake-up call, many of us would never have become Christians. Your wake-up call may have been a disease, an operation, the loss of a loved one, the hearing of a gospel sermon, or 100 other things. My wake-up call as a young man was a wreck on the way to the state track meet, a wreck that observers marveled that anyone could come out alive. A missing finger on my right hand is a constant reminder that the only reason I have a right to be alive is to preach the gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ. The wake-up call is a part of the old-time religion. And ladies and gentlemen, that is good enough for me. Now again, we ask the question, what is the old-time religion? The old-time religion is the old-time religion of the open-door religion. At the time of the earthquake, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The doors were not open to let the prisoners out, but to let the jailer in to confer with Paul and Silas. Who ever heard of a prison where all the doors were open and nobody escaped? You see, God did not want to interfere with the local justice system, so for some strange reason, the prisoners stayed right where they were, even though the doors were opened. God still opens doors today. Remember what the Lord Jesus told the church at Philadelphia in Revelation? He said, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true. He that hath the key of David and openeth, and no man shutteth, and who shuts, and no man openeth. I know thy works, and thou hast a little power, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, which no man can shut." When God opens a door, no man can shut it, and when he closes a door, no man can open it. The church at Philadelphia was not a big church like the church at Sardis that had a big name and was dead. It was a church with a little power, but because of faithfulness, Jesus set before them an open door. If you are faithful to his word, God will open a door for you. Paul told the church at Corinth, "I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door and effectual has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Whenever God opens a door for you, the devil will try to shut it. But he cannot shut a door the Lord has opened unless Jesus permits it. The devil would like to shut the door of this radio ministry. He hates it with a passion, and there are many adversaries. He will never be able to shut it without the permission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someday it will close, but it will stay open as long as it pleases the Lord. The devil would like to close the door of many a faithful church, And the only reason they stay open is because he that shuts the door, it cannot be opened, and if he opens it, it cannot be shut. The door will not stay open, however, if you don't go through. That is the old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. Now, what is the old-time religion? Ladies and gentlemen, the old-time religion is the religion of the loud voice. The jailer awaked out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, and drew his sword and was about to kill himself. And Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Now we can understand that. Jail doors were clanging open, handcuffs were snapping off, foundations of the prison house were shaken, pandemonium reigned, and Paul sees the jailer about to kill himself. He had to cry with a loud voice. Anything less would not suffice to save the jailer's life. Many a time in Scripture a loud voice is heard. Stephen kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." The result of that loud voice prayer was a partial help in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus to become the mighty Apostle Paul. As a young preacher, I lived in a house, and a back window looked across two backyards of my neighbors and pointed across the street at the high school building. In the winter, during the basketball season, I had a loud speaker in the back window of my house. When the game was over, I raised the window, turned up the volume, and talked to the hundreds of people as they came out of the gym. I said, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You have just enjoyed a basketball game. I hope you enjoyed the basketball game. I hope your team won the basketball game. Now remember to attend our services next Sunday and play ball with God." The gospel song says, "Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves." Like Paul in the jailhouse at Philippi, nothing less than a loud voice will suffice. There is one loud voice, however, that we must comment on. In Revelation, John said he saw an angel flying in mid-heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to proclaim to them that dwell on the earth of every tongue and tribe and tongue and people with a loud voice. And he cried with a loud voice, "Fear God, and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come." In this electronic age, the gospel is flying through the air from pole to pole everywhere. Look at the word evangelist. Take off the EV at the front end and the IST at the end, and all you have left is angel. Evangelist. Pray that the angel that flies through the air with the everlasting gospel will have a good flight, because when his job is done, there is another angel that will fly right after him. And that angel is crying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made the nations drunk with the wine of her fornication." When the angel with the everlasting gospel has done his work, all the false religions of the world will fall, and great will be the fall thereof. And that is the old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. Now, just what is the old-time religion? The old-time religion is the light into eternity. When Paul cries with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm," the jailer called for lights. He was calling for lights, no doubt, telling the guards to bring lamps. However, when the Lord heard the jailer call for lights, and he considered that call for lights as a prayer. And God thought to himself, "The jailer wants light. I'll give him more light than he ever thought of having." The Apostle John tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things are made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He was not the light. Mohammed is not the light. Martin Luther is not the light. John Calvin is not the light. Buddha is not the light. Alexander Campbell is not the light. John the Baptist was not the light. Your preacher is not the light. The light is a light that lighteth every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. Jesus is the only light that can get us out of this dark world into the glorious light of eternity. Paul tells us in Colossians that God has translated us from the darkness of this world into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Remember when Jesus left Nazareth? He made his headquarters at Capernaum. The scripture, it says, was fulfilled. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did light spring up. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not exaggerating when I say that no matter how rich, sophisticated, what position you may hold, from president to the man who lives in a cardboard box under the bridge, unless you are covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are living in a darkness blacker than the darkness that fell on the land of Egypt, a darkness that could be felt. You are living in the suburbs of hell. There is a gospel song that expresses the responsibility of the church when it says, "There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light, and a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light." And that is the meaning of the old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. Now, what is the meaning of the old-time religion? The old-time religion was the old-time response to the gospel. The old-time response to the gospel was when the gospel was preached about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. People under conviction cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In that case, they were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. One man one time heard the gospel, and his response was, "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" But the jailer cries out, "What must I do to be saved?" before he even heard the message. He had heard the charge in court about the maid who cried, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim unto you the way of salvation." He desired to be saved. He was told to believe on Jesus for salvation. But how could he believe on Jesus when he had never heard of him? The jailer had not heard Paul and Silas singing in the dark because he was asleep. The Lord had to send an earthquake to wake him up. But don't forget, also, this is the first time the gospel is being preached in Europe. He knew nothing about Jesus and had never heard of him. Now, what would you have said if someone told you to believe on someone you never heard of? You would have said what the blind man said in John chapter 9. Jesus asked him if he believed on the Son of God, and the blind man said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe?" Jesus said, "He that speaketh unto thee is he." And that is evidently what the jailer said to Paul and Silas. He said, "How can I believe on someone in whom I have not heard? And how shall I hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" That is why the divine record says, "They preached the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway, and brought them up into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. When he did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his belief included hearing the word, believing the word, repenting of his sins, and being baptized. That was what it meant when it says he believed in God. The faith that saves is the faith that includes the whole gospel process, believing the word that was preached, repenting, and immersion for the remission of sins, just like it was done on the day of Pentecost, and just like it was done in all the conversions of the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.